If you had the power to change your circumstances, would you use it? What is it about your circumstances that you would change if you had the power to change them? Well, more than likely, all of us could think about something in our life that we'd like to change. Sometimes those circumstances are not exactly what we expected, what we anticipated. And so if we really had the power to do it, we would indeed change our circumstances. Would it be in your family? Would it be in your finances or your vocation? Is it the job that you're on right now that you'd like to change? Some relationship that you would either get out of or get into or alter in some way? What about your circumstances would you change? Maybe it's your health. Maybe it's where you live. But there is something you'd like to change. But you say, well, I would like to change them, but I'm not sure I can. Or it looks like they'll never be able to be changed, and so I guess I'll just sort of have to live under them the rest of my life. Well, that's what I want to talk about in this message, living above your circumstances. And the title of this message, Living Above Your Circumstances, The Challenge. And I want you to turn, if you will, to a man who went through all kinds of difficult circumstances, but he never got under them. Philippians chapter 1, beginning in verse 12. The Apostle Paul knew all about tough times, difficult times, trying circumstances. And yet, one of the interesting things about him, you don't read about him complaining and moaning and groaning and having pity parties about his difficulty. And in this passage, he begins by saying in verse 12 of chapter 1, "Now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else, and that most of the brethren trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. Some, to be sure, are preaching Christ even from envy and strife, but some also from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition rather than from pure motives, thinking to cause me distress in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in this I rejoice, yes, and I will rejoice." The Apostle Paul is in prison. He is not in a prison like we normally think of prisons when he wrote the book of Philippians, but he is in a prison. It is rented quarters in which he is confined, and he is chained to a Roman soldier. And it is in response to the concern of the people in the church at Philippi who are writing him, concerned about his condition there in Rome. They are now about 2 years or somewhere thereabouts before his trial. And they're concerned about the Apostle Paul. And when you read this book of Philippians, and you read what he says, you will understand that here's a man who knew how to live above his circumstances, where most folks, I'm afraid, do not live. But most of us oftentimes talk about, well, you know, I guess I'm just under it. It's interesting that the Apostle Paul is never seen or heard or read about complaining, blaming, trying to escape his circumstances, and there's a reason. He learned how to live above them no matter what they were. And that's what I want to share in this message, and I certainly hope you'll be wise enough to jot down at least three things, because here's the challenge. And I want you to jot them down, because if you will apply them to your own life, no matter what your circumstance is, you will be able to live above it and not find yourself under it. Now, think about this for a moment. First of all, the Apostle Paul would challenge us in this passage in overcoming our circumstance, that is, learning to live above them. The first requirement and the first challenge is this, and that is to focus on Christ and not the circumstance. To focus on Christ and not the circumstance. Now, no matter who you are, there are some circumstances about your life, those things that surround you, that are a part of your life, that you live with, that are good. Everything surely isn't bad. So there's some things that are good. But what about those things that are not so good? Those things that you seem to feel are a continuous challenge to you. those circumstances that are painful, that are inescapable, that seem to be unavoidable. There is no escape, and there seem to be no way to change them. And you find yourself in them. You sort of feel stuck. What do I do about this? It may be in your finances, as we said, or in your marriage. It may be with your children. It may be on your job. It may be in a thousand different ways that you find yourself sort of fixed and sort of rutted in. And if you were asked the question, would I change my circumstance, your immediate answer would be, yes, indeed, I would change them. I would get out of them as quickly as I possibly could. Yes, I would change my circumstances. Well, how would you change them? You'd say, well, I'd just like to run 1,000 miles in this circumstance, or I'd have enough money to pay off all my debts, or I would make this relationship right. That is, more than likely, you could come up with a way to change a circumstance. But isn't it interesting that oftentimes in our attempts to change the things about us that we don't think are right, many times we make decisions that make those things worse than they were. And this is what happens oftentimes to people who are in what they consider a bad marriage. And so they just say, hey, I don't have to put up with this anymore. I'm leaving. Forget it. You go your way and I'll go mine. So whatever caused that rift in their marriage and that breakup, they take the same doubts, frustrations, bitterness, resentments, and hostilities into another marriage. Now, they thought that the way to solve this problem was to get them another partner. And the only problem is that they brought all of their junk into someone else's life who absolutely is shattered by what they discover after living with them about 6 months. And now this man or woman has two problems instead of one. Their circumstances have doubled in their pressure. Now they have to live with the guilt of their divorce, the guilt as they look back realizing that they didn't do their share, didn't do as well as they should have, didn't treat the other partner right, and now they have someone else. Now they've got two problems. My friend, the way to deal with circumstances is not always to escape, because oftentimes you will run into something far worse than you ran out of. That's not the approach. And so sometimes we want to blame someone else for our circumstances. If we can find somebody else to blame, even God if necessary, or someone else we can make liable for where we are and what's happened to us, we think that's going to ease our pain, but it doesn't. Then we have another object. We have another relationship that's not right in life. And so running and blaming and moaning and groaning and having pity parties never got us out from under our circumstance. And so what happens? We get all depressed and down in the dumps and we say, well, my circumstances are such, if you just knew about my circumstances, listen, telling everybody else about them is not going to help. You know what it does? It just makes them bigger and larger and grander. You may get some acceptance by complaining, but you know what? It doesn't do a thing for your circumstance. And oftentimes, those who complain the most are those people in situations and circumstances whereby complaining does not do one single solitary bit of good. All it does is that it elevates it, that circumstance, in their mind. And the more you talk about it, the worse it gets. And the more you explain it to other people, it really gets bad. Because you see, what you found out is that the worse you make it sound to others, the more acceptance you get and the more pity you get. And oh my goodness, I don't know what in the world I would do if I were in your situation. I'm going to pray for you. God help you, and on and on. And the worse you make it, the better you like it. My friend, that is not the way to overcome bad circumstances. Now, some of them are inescapable. There's some of you are in situations and circumstances you would change if you could. It may be your health. It may be your finances. It may be your marriage. It may be your vocation. I don't know what it is, but I can tell you that blaming and seeking a fast escape is not the solution. The solution is to focus on Christ, not the circumstance. Now think about the Apostle Paul for just a moment. Here he was in prison, unjustly so. And he would be there about 2 years, waiting a trial. He was chained, more than likely, to a Roman soldier. And he was confined to quarters that he could provide for himself, but he was still a prisoner and still confined. He had guests, but he could no longer as an itinerant preacher travel around. He could not establish any more churches. He could not go back to those other churches and disciple them any longer. He was not a free man to do the things that he had been able to do. And for all practical purposes, he could have sat there in that Roman prison and said, God, do you remember on the Damascus Road when you saved me? And I said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And you told me to preach, and I preached. And I have given my life. You know about how many times I've been beaten and shipwrecked and stoned and all the difficulties and the hardships. I never complained, Lord. I've done what you told me to do. My heart was set on preaching the gospel and establishing churches and building up the kingdom of God. And God, I'm in jail. I can't do it anymore. I'm willing to do it, but I can't do it anymore. Why am I in jail when you've taught me so much? God, I want to get up and preach the gospel. And here I sit, confined to a Roman soldier. Lord, where are you? But you know what? There's not any of that in that book. Instead, listen to this. What then, only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in this I rejoice, yes, and I will rejoice. And you go all through this little book of Philippians, and what do you find? You find Paul saying again and again and again, he says, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. I urge you, rejoice in the same way and share your joy with me. He says, rejoice in the Lord always, again I will rejoice. And here he is in prison. And he can't do the very thing that God called him to do. And besides that, he's there unjustly. He's willing to serve the Lord, but he can't. Now, why isn't he having himself the biggest pity party in Christendom at his time? Because the Apostle Paul learned to live above his circumstances. And he learned by understanding that his focus must be upon Christ and not his circumstance. Listen carefully. When you set your focus upon the Lord Jesus Christ and who He is, what happens is He lifts the veil from your eyes and you begin to see things and your circumstances from an entirely different perspective. And the Apostle Paul looked at his circumstances, looked at the Lord Jesus Christ, and what did he say? Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! I am rejoicing in the Lord sitting here in this prison. You say, well, that's all right for the Apostle Paul, but what about me? Let me ask you a question. How many of you could say today, my circumstances are worse than those of the Apostle Paul? And the Apostle Paul was headed to a trial which he knew if he went the wrong way, he could be beheaded. Now, how many of you could say, my circumstances are certainly far worse than his? Well, that's what I figured. Well, let me ask you a question. Is it not true then that this man knows something that we need to know? How in the world can he sit in prison and talk about rejoicing in the Lord? Well, the reason is because he learned very early that looking at the prison and thinking about the emperor and looking at Roman soldiers and looking at the walls of that place and thinking about being confined and thinking about what he couldn't do didn't do him one bit of good. But here's what he did discover. When he focused his attention upon Christ, everything in those confined quarters began to change. And this is why he says in Philippians chapter 3, he says, when I look at this situation, he said, in comparison to the knowledge of Christ, I count everything as loss compared to knowing Jesus Christ my Savior. The surpassing value of that. The supreme advantage of that. He said, I count everything but loss. And so what happens? Here's a man whose focus is Christ. What can I learn? What can I discover sitting in this prison? And instead of looking at his circumstances, he kept his mind upon Jesus Christ. His focus was Christ, not his circumstances. Now we'll all agree, when we look at our circumstances, when they're bad and painful and difficult, the more we talk about them, what happens? The larger they seem to be. The more we discuss them with other people, the more unjustly we feel about them. And usually, the more we talk to other people about them, the less we talk to God about them. And the truth is, when you begin to praise the Lord Jesus Christ, and you begin to magnify His name in word and in song, and you begin to praise the Lord, or just verbally praise Him. Lord Jesus, I want to praise You. I want to thank You that in these difficult, trying, inescapable, unchangeable circumstances, I praise You for being the living Christ. Friend, you can't stay under circumstances long praising Jesus. And so the key is, number one, set your focus upon Christ and not upon the circumstances. Now, the second thing that is evident here, jot it down, and that is that Paul says we are to focus upon the sovereignty of God, not the will of man. We are to focus upon the sovereignty of God, not the will of man. Now, why do we say that? Simply this, because the Apostle Paul nowhere in here says, well, if it had not been for the Romans, if it had not been for these Judaizers out here, you see, no blame. Because the Apostle Paul knew that the sovereign God whom he served had the power to lift him out of that prison if he chose to do it. You recall that he opened the doors of the prison for Peter one night, let him out. And Paul knew that God could do the same thing for him if he chose to do it. Now, when we say we're to focus upon the sovereignty of God, not the will of man, what do we mean? Simply this. That no matter what our circumstances are, this we are to do. We are to understand and recognize that our circumstances, whatever they are only there for the believer as a result of the permissive will of God. I didn't say it was God's ideal will, the permissive will of God. We know that nothing can touch a believer until, first of all, it penetrates the powerful presence of God Himself. And so what happens? He just opens the door, and into our life comes those painful, trying, difficult circumstances that we cannot explain and cannot escape from. But you and I know that only by the permissive will of God was it allowed. Otherwise, we see ourselves as victims. That is, if we don't focus on the sovereignty of God and focus on the will of man, then we see ourselves as being treated like, treated by, victims of. Then what do? We focus upon our own feelings and our own circumstances, and back under it we go. The Apostle Paul is the one who wrote, and we know that our God is engineering all of our circumstances for the good to those who love Him and to those who are called according to His purpose. So, we focus on the sovereignty of God. Only that which God allows can get through. Secondly, only that which is under the control of God will ever get through. That is, you see, everything is under the control of God. So, whatever God allows to touch your life and mine is always under the authority and under the control of a sovereign God. And therefore, you and I are to see everything is coming from God. We are to see God in everything in our life. And listen, the believer never interprets any aspect of life apart from the presence and the power of a supernatural God who has every single thing in His grip, in His grasp, and nothing can escape His eternal grasp. What does that say? It says to me that no matter what my circumstances are, God has my circumstances absolutely under control. So what do you find Paul doing? Praising the Lord, rejoicing in the Lord, and not complaining and moaning and groaning about his circumstances. Because he sees everything subject to that. Why? Because you see, Paul saw Christ as his very life. But what happens is this. When you and I don't focus our attention upon the sovereignty of God, and focus it upon our circumstances and the will of people and how they treat us and what they've done to us or what they're doing to us, what happens is we get on the defensive. We get under our circumstances because what do? We start blaming man or blaming God. He's sovereign. He can control. He does control. And the Apostle Paul knew that about his own circumstance. And I wonder, where does the blame lie in your mind about your circumstances? Is it your husband, your wife, your children, your father, your mother? Is it your boss? Is it finances? Is it just your environment? Is it where you live? You see, all of us can find some reason, but listen. If God is sovereign, He knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly why you are where you are. He knows exactly how to control every single facet of your life. And no matter where you are, one thing for sure, you're in the hand of God. And if I'm going to overcome difficulty and hardship and trial and circumstances that oftentimes are inescapable and unavoidable and unchangeable, then I must focus my attention upon the sovereignty of God, not upon the will of man, or I will be quick to blame, quick to become critical, and find myself absolutely miserable, my countenance showing everything but that of Christ-likeness, losing my witness, losing my impact for Christ, because things are not working out the way I expected them to. And I'm certain that Paul did not have in mind when he began to preach the gospel that he would spend many days of his life in a prison. That wasn't his goal. His goal was to get the gospel out. Now, let's think about it for a moment. When I asked in the very beginning, do you have some circumstances in your life that you would change if you could? More than likely you said, oh yes, I have a whole list of them. And I asked, would you change them if you could? Yes, I would change them. What would you do? And more than likely you had an answer that seemed to be acceptable to you. But I wonder if those circumstances are there by the permissive will of God for God to accomplish something in your life that He couldn't accomplish any other way. You say, oh, now wait a minute. I'm sure there's a better way to get me to learn something than what I'm in. Well, that's what all of us think. In fact, most of us would like to say, Lord, if you want me to learn something, just give me a book. I promise I'll read it. But God isn't in the process of teaching us by simply giving us books. You see, God's reply probably is, I've already given you one. And what you're going through is consistent with the book that I gave you. Oh, well, I must not have read that chapter then. God makes no mistakes. He understands what's going on in your life and mine. What He wants us to do is to live above the circumstance. Now, think about this. Here's someone confined to a wheelchair who'll never walk. What are they to do? Sit with pity, moaning and groaning and blaming God and somebody else? Or to focus upon Christ and focus upon the sovereignty of God, that He must have something in mind that He allowed this to happen to you as a child of God. Here you are in the hospital and you're saying, this wasn't in my plans and my circumstances are very, very painful at this moment. Do you mean to tell me that God allowed this? If you're one of His children, my dear friend, you wouldn't be there if Almighty God had not allowed it. Well, what is God's purpose? Well, I don't know that I can answer that for you, but I can tell you one thing. The third part of this message is the most important part of all. Because not only must we focus upon Christ and not our circumstances, not only must we focus upon the sovereignty of God and not the will of man, but thirdly, we must focus on the positive results, not the personal pain. The positive results, not the personal pain. Now, let's look at it for just a moment in the life of the Apostle Paul. You see, it's difficult sometimes for us to focus on Christ when we're hurting. Hurting physically or hurting emotionally. You say, but I hurt so deeply. I hurt so bad. How in the world could God expect me to think about Him when I hurt in that way? I understand. I understand why you would question that. But I also understand that God will never allow anything in our life, anything in our life that He will not use to profit and to prosper us if our focus is right. Not on the circumstance, but upon Christ. Not upon the will of man, but upon the sovereignty of God. Not upon my personal pain, but upon the positive results of that. Now let's look at the Apostle Paul for a moment and then let's apply it to our own life. Here he is in prison. What kind of positive results could you and I expect from this kind of a situation? Well, I want us to get back into the scripture now, verse by verse here. Listen, first of all, Paul said to these Philippians, he said, I want you to know in verse 12, I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel. Listen, for the acceleration of the gospel, for the advancement of the gospel, not the hindrance of it. What appeared to be something that would retard it, accelerated it. What appeared to be hindering the gospel, suddenly he began to realize was helping the propagation of the gospel. Instead of a hindrance, a help. He said, first of all, I want you to know that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel. And the word he uses here for the greater progress of the gospel is a term used for those men who went before an army and who cut away everything that would hinder the march and the movement of that army. You know what Paul is saying? Paul says, let me tell you about my circumstances. I want to tell you why I'm not under them. He says, because I realize that my imprisonment has cut away, has removed hindrances to the acceleration of the gospel of Jesus Christ that could not have been removed any other way. Now, what in the world is that? You mean to tell me that Paul couldn't have been out free doing a better job than he's doing sitting there in prison? Well, let's see what's happening. Notice that next phrase. He says, so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else. Now, what's happening? Think about this. If Paul had marched into Rome and said, I want to speak to the prefect of the Roman Praetorium, they would have probably said, you want to do what? And cast him out. There would have been no way the Apostle Paul could have arranged in any fashion the tremendous opportunity he had. You see, the Roman Praetorium was 10,000 choice picked men who were the emperor's guard. And so when the Apostle Paul was taken to Rome as a prisoner to be tried, he was turned over more than likely to the prefect who was the commander of those 10,000 men who made up the guard, the praetorium. And so he was placed in quarters that he could rent, but he was a prisoner chained to a Roman soldier. More than likely, according to the use of the word there, it was a wrist chain. Now, he was free to move around in his quarters, but he was chained to a guard. Now, think about this. Every so many hours, that guard changed. And so, what did they have to talk about? The only thing that Paul wanted to talk about, Christ. If you think about the life of the Apostle Paul, he had so many exciting, wonderful stories about his life. Those guards probably couldn't wait to get back. Who is this guy anyway? And when he talked about the crucifixion, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, how God transformed his life, smote him down on the Damascus Road, he'd never been the same, and he'd been traveling all over his known world, establishing churches and discipling, and more than likely they said, well, what have you been telling these folks? And Paul said, that's what I've been waiting for you to ask me. Hour after hour, the Apostle Paul shared the powerful, life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ to one guard after the other. Week after week, month after month, 2 long years, and the Apostle Paul says, the whole Praetorian Guard knew that he was there. I'll bet they didn't know about all the rest of the prisoners. They said to themselves, who is this little fellow over here? There's something strange about him. You see, God has a way of taking the insignificant things and making them powerful and mighty. He knows how to take your life in the most difficult, trying circumstance and do what? Cause you to make an impact that you could never have made any other way. So here he is, witnessing to one guard after the other. And probably as they get back to their barracks and talk about it, and they'll say, is it your turn? You just wait. You wait. And probably some guard said, that's not going to affect me. I don't believe in all that religion bit anyway, and so don't worry about it. And he comes back after about 6 hours with the Apostle Paul. And they say, what do you think? What do I think? What do you think I think? There's something strange about this man. There's something almost irresistible about him. It sure is. It's Christ living on the inside of this man. Listen, who is chained to a Roman soldier and who's happy and excited and contented and talking to these soldiers about, more than likely talking about their families and difficulties and hardships, and he was saying to them, don't be anxious about anything. Let your request be made known to God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And the peace of God will absolutely surround you and garrison you about. And here's this Roman soldier thinking, who is this guy talking about peace? Who is this man that can tell me about the peace of God? And here he is in prison. You see, you know why I know the Apostle Paul was a successful witness in prison, not only because he says so, but listen, on his countenance, there was such peace and quietness and strength, they could not have resisted the powerful witness of this man. He was irresistible because it was the Spirit of God within him. Now do you understand why the Apostle Paul wasn't trying to escape? Why he wasn't having a pity party and moaning and groaning and saying, God, why don't you get me out of here? Listen. But thank God you did for me what I could never have arranged. And the whole palace of the emperor of Rome, not that they were saved, but they heard about it. Listen, for Paul to be in prison was for Christ to be in prison. Not imprisoned, but to be in prison. With the coming of the Apostle Paul as a prisoner, Jesus Christ walked in human flesh right into the middle of the Praetorian Guard and began to evangelize the whole crowd. Now that's one way to look at a bad circumstance. And that is exactly why Paul says, rejoice, I tell you, to get happy and excited under your circumstance when you begin to focus on the positive results rather than on the personal pain. Paul could have walked around that room and saying, you know, I don't know why God's done this to me. And after a while, the Roman soldier would probably say, would you shut up and stop complaining? But I can imagine they were waiting their turn to be chained to the Apostle Paul. Let me ask you a question. If the Apostle Paul ended up in jail down here in Atlanta, and he could have guests, wouldn't you and I line up to be the first in line to get in there to be with him for a little while? Just 30 minutes with him is all I want. I got lots of questions. 30 minutes with the Apostle Paul in prison. Well, do you realize? Listen, God set him right into the heart of the whole Praetorian Guard. But listen, what else? Because these quarters were such that he was free to move around in but not leave, he could have guests. So, the Apostle Paul was winning the guards, and they had to come back on their ship. And so after they received Jesus Christ, then they got discipled. Imagine that. Imagine sitting down with the Apostle Paul. And listen, you couldn't go to sleep. If a Roman soldier went to sleep on guard, that was it. Paul's congregation could never go to sleep. Listen, they couldn't even nod. And he had them day and night listening to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not only that, those on the outside were coming to visit him. And when they came to visit him, many of them were saved. And many of the believers who came in visiting him were likewise discipled. Can you imagine what happened to them? Well, the next thing that happens is, and he says it all right in this passage, he says, verse 14, and that most of the brethren, trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment, they were being saved, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. They were walking out of that prison, listening to Paul disciple them and tell them what was happening in his life and what was happening to the Roman Praetorium. They walked out of there so full of courage and boldness, walking up down the streets of Rome. Listen, those who were once afraid to share the gospel couldn't shout it loud enough because of the courage they received from watching, looking at a man who was a prisoner, not under his circumstances, but way above them, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ in a fashion, in a place only God could have arranged. Not only that, he says, even his enemies on the outside. You see, there was a party of anti-Paul Judaistic followers, and what they were doing was this. They were trying to combine Paul's message of grace and liberty with Old Testament legalism and ritualism and law. And so, while they were rejoicing over Paul being in prison, Paul would have had a right to say, you know, they're out there preaching error, and here I am in prison with the truth. But he didn't say that. He said, you know what? The only thing that matters is that Jesus is being preached. The only thing that matters is that the name of Jesus Christ is on the lips of the Praetorian Guard. The name of Jesus Christ is on the lips of people in Rome who never heard about him. The name of Jesus Christ is being lifted up. The gospel is being accelerated. Jesus Christ is being glorified. People are being saved. The body of Christ here in Rome is being discipled. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! No criticism, no blame, no escape, no pity party. You know why? Because Paul made a simple decision, and that is to focus on the positive results of his bad circumstances and not his personal pain. Now you say, but you don't know about my personal pain. I don't have to know. I do know this, that no matter what it is, listen carefully, when you focus your attention upon Christ, he lifts the veil from our eyes. and we begin to see opportunities, privileges, tremendous privileges of bearing an impact for the gospel of Jesus Christ, we wouldn't have had it any other way. How many times have I talked to people who've been in the hospital? Very difficult, trying circumstances. Who've said to me, when I first got there, I complained. I told God I didn't want to be in there. God, why don't you heal me? Then I led my partner, who was in the bed next to me, to Christ. Then one of the nurses received Jesus Christ as her Savior. The next thing I know, what's happening? They were thanking God for being in the hospital. You're in a difficult situation in your job. You don't like your circumstances. If you'll set your focus upon Christ, set your focus upon the sovereignty of God who's placed you there, set your focus upon the positive results that can be, listen, as a result of your being there, you may be surprised. Your circumstances may not change, but something on the inside of you is going to change. And listen, when your countenance begins to brighten up because of your confidence in Christ, your impact right where you are is going to intensify a thousandfold. But now you can go to work tomorrow morning down in the dumps under your circumstances complaining and moaning and groaning and griping about this, that, and the other. And you know what's going to happen? Nothing. But you can walk in with a peace that passes all human understanding. With a quietness in your spirit and a confidence that you're in the will of God. Listen, there's not a single verse in the Bible that says that if I'm in the will of God, everything's just going to be wonderful. There's not a single verse in the Bible that says that. In fact, there are more verses that warn me that if I'm walking in the will of God, I can expect difficulty and difficult circumstances. Look for it. Those who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Now the question is, do you want to live under them or do you want to live over them? And my friend, it is your choice. You say, but it's not my choice. It is your choice. I didn't say it's your choice to get out of them, to escape them, to change them, but it is your choice to live above them. And how is that? Get your eyes off the circumstance and get it on Christ. Get your eyes off the will of man, get it on the sovereignty of God. Get your eyes off the personal pain that you feel and get it on the positive results that God is working out and will work out if you will allow Him to do it. Who is the most effective witness? Those who oftentimes go through the most difficult, trying circumstance. What happens? We look at them and we say, I'm amazed how you've gone through that, focusing on Christ, focusing on the sovereignty of God, focusing on the possible results. And you find somebody else in less trying, less difficult circumstances, total defeat, victims, miserable, wretched, blaming, criticizing. And it may be that the one who's the most critical has far better circumstances than the one who is praising God. Listen carefully. It's a decision we make. It's not a feeling I have to have to overcome my circumstances. It is a decision I make. I choose to focus my attention upon my Lord, not my circumstances. Upon the sovereignty of my God, and not upon the will of man, upon all the possible ways in which God can be glorified, not on my personal pain. But it all begins with receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You see, unless you do that, it won't work. Because you're by yourself. But once you surrender your life to Christ, that is, once you confess your sins, and once by faith you accept Jesus Christ's death at Calvary as the full payment of your sin debt, and you receive Him personally by faith as your Savior, then Christ on the inside of you begins to work out in you His perfect will. And oftentimes, through circumstances that you've gotten yourself into unsaved, that God may not remove them immediately, He may never remove some of them, but He will empower you to live above them in order that your life may glorify Him. I don't know who you are or what your circumstances are, but I can tell you this. You don't have to live under them unless you choose to. And if you choose right, you will choose to live above them by faith in the Son of God, listen carefully, who died, was buried, risen, ascended, and now is living on the inside of you to enable you to overcome, not just survive, overcome, not just make it through, but triumph over your circumstance. And he says, it is your victory for the asking and the believing. Father, we love you and praise you. We thank you that we're not victims, but we're your sons and daughters under your sovereignty, your authority, and your control. Surrounded by circumstances oftentimes we cannot change nor from which we can escape, we want to praise you for proving yourself sufficient, adequate, to face every trying circumstance of life without being hostile or angry or bitter, without being resentful, without blaming, but recognizing you have a wonderful work going on the inside of us that oftentimes even we cannot discern. We love you, we praise you. And Father, my prayer to you today is that those who have resisted, fought against, rebelled against their circumstances, that today you would do the wonderful work of transformation in their life. Reset their focus is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.